My name's Anthony. I'm an addict.
Hi, Anthony.
My clean date is August 26, 1992. I got clean in Central Maryland for 2 years and then moved to Edgewater, Maryland and joined the Bay Area. And I've been involved in the Bay Area now for over 22 years. I want to say that I thank the God of my understanding for being here today. I thank my mother. And I thank my sponsor, or my sponsors. I've had several of them. And I also thank Scotty P. for asking me to come out here and share, because Christy's talked about it. Scott called me today. I was going to look at an apartment for my wife, who I've been married to for 10 years. And I told him I have to think about it. He told me, Scotty said to me, he says, Anthony, he says, I was trying to think about who I can get to share on healthy relationships, and you're one of the first persons that come to mind. I'm like, oh my God. And I cried for an hour. Because this was a hard thing to do. Hard thing to do clean. And it's been a hard thing to do in recovery. You know, I know there's two types of fear. You get to frig everything and run, or face everything and recover. And when Scotty asked me, I said, I'll have to think about it. And I called him back within the next day, and I said, okay, I'll do it. Because I still have a healthy relationship with my wife, even though she lives in an apartment, and we only see each other once a week. Right now, she's on the other side of the country in Las Vegas at a nurses' convention, and I'm over here in Ocean City at a convention of Narcotics Anonymous. She still don't understand addicts. She administers drugs. I use them. She never used a drug in her life. I use more than I can think of. For 20 years, I abused and used drugs. And I had a judge in 1988 by the name of Judge For Me in PG County. He made me stand up in a courtroom with my parents. I was 27 or 28 years old. And he says, Mr. P, he said, you're not only a disgrace to society, but you're also a disgrace to our heritage. I come from an Italian family, and he embarrassed the hell out of me and my parents both in the courtroom. And he looked at me and he said, have you ever heard of Narcotics Anonymous? I think you ought to go there. And for some strange reason, that night I pulled out the phone book and I opened it up and I looked up N.A. And there was Narcotics Anonymous, and there was a hotline number in there. I never even heard of you people. And I called that hotline, and I showed up at my very first meeting the next day. That was a Wednesday Berwyn group over in College Park. And needless to say, that was 88. I didn't get clean until 92. And, I went to hell and back before I finally decided to stick and stay here. But why I thank my mother, God bless her soul. I was here 2 years ago, and I led the meeting, the Sunday morning sunrise meeting, and I cried at that meeting because my mother was going through some health issues, and I was concerned for her, you know, and she was the person that went to Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. She went to Tough Love. She went to Al-Anon. She went to Nar-Anon. She went to all these different programs. And she finally told me in the end, she says, you know what? I love you, but I don't want you here anymore. I don't like you. And I said, oh, my God. and I left the house. I moved out, and I thank God for her. She passed away a year and a half ago, and she, in her coffin is my 23-year medallion. And I thank her, because if it wasn't for her, I probably might not be here today. She taught me what tough love was. I came in here, and I got in a relationship early in recovery. I had 3 months. And the girl I got into a relationship with just came out of Reality House in Laurel, and she had 1 month. Well, you know, I tried doing everything right this time, but there was one thing I didn't do right. They said, don't get into relationships your first year. Well, that was my first mistake. But it turned out to be my first blessing. Because back home today, I have a 20-year-old daughter through our marriage. And we had our child, and it was the best thing that ever happened to Anthony. Because Anthony learned how to grow up. My ex-wife, though, she thought she put her daughter in staying home important and more important than going to meetings and staying involved in the fellowship, because we were both in recovery. And when my daughter was 7 years old, she ended up getting arrested and was locked up in Anne Arundel County Detention Center for 2 years. And I ended up raising my daughter by myself for almost 10 years. Mr. Mom, I bought a van. I had my daughter. I would take her to cheerleading sessions. I would take her to gymnastics. I would take her to her basketball practices, her and her friends. Because, see, I was a single parent trying to work at the same time and run a house, because my ex-wife not only left me with the house, she left me with all the bills, everything, including our daughter. And I did all this. And I took her to her, I took her in swim, I got her involved in swim team, I took her to swim meets. I mean, I did everything I could. And of course, getting all the friends to join and jump in the van too helped me relieve me, so they would also, the parents would join in and take my daughter some days, so it would give me time to go to work. Because I worked nights. I don't know how I did it. To this day, I have no idea. I've been on the same job now for over 22 years. Working for the same company. How I did it, I have no idea. Of course, I'm in sales. And I started years ago at 13 selling drugs. And at first, and I wanted to say at the beginning, and I'll say it now, if there's anyone here I sold drugs to, I'll make amends to you now. If there's anyone I prostituted with, I'll make my amends now. Anyone I stole from in the end of my addiction, I make my amends now to you. Because there's lots of people I've harmed. And I'm not proud of it. You know? But and working the steps, I've learned how to give back what's freely given to me. How to do for others what I couldn't do for myself. You know? So I was celibate for several years with my daughter, you know, because I just didn't want to, I had too much going on. You know? So I learned about me. I worked on me. And developing a relationship with Anthony. And see, what happened there was a good thing. Now, I hope I don't offend nobody. I hope you don't get up and walk out or whatever. But you know what? For 20 years, I put anything and everything I could put in my body. I destroyed my body from 13 to 33. And I believe today, with love through the God of my understanding and healthy relationship with God, I was able to put down nicotine. I was able to start taking care of myself, going to the gym. I started running. I started running 10Ks, 5Ks, 10Ks, 7 mile races, wherever. You know, I was just doing it. It was another addiction. But it was a good addiction for me. Because see, I started taking care of myself. Because see, I don't know about you, but from me, I'm just speaking for me. The 20 years I destroyed my body, am I going to continue to destroy it by overeating, smoking, you know, doing things that aren't right? Getting involved in relationships without condoms? You know? Or, right. I don't want to do that today. Yeah, I have VD. I've had VD several times. Okay? I also have, I have hepatitis C. You know, but through this healthy relationship with the God of my understanding of myself, I go to the doctor every year and get myself tested, and they say, you have hep. But the tests show it's non-existent. Whatever you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. So I continue not to smoke, continue not to overeat, continue not to do things. I can't run anymore, though, because I had surgery last year. That's the hardest thing I've ever done, is stop running. But I'll get through that, too. So I guess when I'm talking about healthy relationships, I took my parents, just to let you know, when my wife and I separated, I took my daughter and my parents, who I held hostage in their own home for several years, because every time they went on vacation, they were afraid to find out what would be missing when they got home, or what would happen to the house, right? When I separated from my ex-wife, I said, Mom and Dad, come on, let's go. We're going on vacation. And we'd all hop in the car and we'd take a trip for 2 weeks, however long we go away. And I did that for 4 years. Mom and Dad, my daughter, Mom and Dad, my daughter, and my niece, Mom and Dad, my daughter, my godchild. And we were getting ready to take another trip the following year, but Dad got sick. You know? And Dad passed away that following year. What I want to say is that I was very, very happy I made the amends to my parents when I did. And I took care of my mother when I did. I did the best I could. My grandmother, God bless her soul, my grandmother lived to be almost 109 years old. Do you know she would walk to the store every day? She would walk 2 miles to Giant's, even just to buy a stick of butter so she could bake bread. And she'd open her purse and couldn't find any money in it. And she thought she'd come home and tell my mother she was going senile. It wasn't true. She had a stinking grandson is what she had. You see what I'm saying? So when my parents couldn't take care of my grandmother anymore down in Solomon's Island, I would take a ride at least every 2 weeks and bring her a bouquet of flowers. She loved Popeye's chicken, so I'd take her Popeye's chicken. You know, I mean, I would just be there for my grandmother. God bless her soul. And she also make me, when I was using, she would make me get up. Come on, we got to do the garden. I'm like, she made me go out and till the garden and tear all the roots out of the yard. Thank God for her, because she taught me how to do gardens now. I just finished my garden last week. I was off. So I learned how to redevelop relationships with my family. My cousin, we're all from Italian family, right? I did him some bad deeds back then, and I could swear I thought I was going to get knocked off. You know, I thought the family was after me, because I was not only hurting my grandmother and my parents, because every time the phone rang at home, my dad would answer it. And he said, every time the phone rings, your mother and your grandmother start crying, thinking that you're dead. You're locked up? Good. You know? So what would happen? You know, so I decided to, in recovery here, through the amend steps, is to make amends with that family of mine. My brother, God bless his soul. My brother was locked up in ECI down the street here for 5 years. I would pick my mother up. My mother would come up to the house. I would take her, and we would drive to ECI one Saturday every month to go visit my brother. Let me tell you something. I'm in my new relationship with my new family, my son. I got my daughter, my stepson. How much time do you have once a month to go take a whole day trip? But I did it. I did it for my mother and my brother. And today the relationship with my brother is far greater than it was. Because, yeah, I stole it. Back then I stole his stereo. I stole his car. You know, I tell you this story. I stole his car back in the late 1980s, right? And I was smoking some stuff. I don't know what the hell it was I got from D.C. I was smoking something, you know. And I was on this trip to Great Falls because I was so depressed. I wanted to jump, you know. I was on my way to Great Falls, and I really wanted to jump. And I'm driving, and it was early morning, and all of a sudden, the car pulled up to this gate, and there was fog all settled in around the gate. Is this the gates of heaven? And I pressed the button on the gate. This is no lie. I pressed this button on the gate, and the gate opened. And I said, God, you're going to let me in? After all I've done wrong. And I pulled the car inside the gate, and I parked it, and I walked around, and I couldn't find nobody. And I said, nobody's here. So I got back in the car, and I started getting high again. And guess who showed up? My worst nightmare, the Fairfax County Police. What are you doing? Locked me up in Fairfax County Detention Center for 60 days because they thought I was crazy. Because I told them I thought I was dead. I'm supposed to be in heaven. What am I doing here? But I was able to make amends to my brother through all these hard times. And, you know, I too am on my fourth step again with my fourth sponsor. I've done the steps to so many different fellowships, different ways. The old way NA, the old way AA. I had a guy named Champ do it years ago. With me, and now I'm doing it again with this big textbook through Narcotics Anonymous with my new sponsor, you know. And I'm right on the healthy relationship part two, just like her. We've been going through the same thing, and we're dealing with the same issues, you know. And I still have a good relationship with my wife. I tell her I love her, you know. And I still do. I haven't been perfect. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But if we learn from them, is the port. That's the important part. If we learn from our mistakes. Because see, my daughter, who's now 20, she's going to be 21 next week. I hope she doesn't go blow one on, because I took her through Pathways back when she was 15. And my wife now doesn't quite get along with my daughter. She don't know what it is to be an addict. She's not an addict. She's never used drugs in her whole life. And she was dealing with my daughter's issues through her drug addiction at 15. You know, who you would think she would learn, since her mother got locked up in jail, to not do it. But she had to learn the hard way. And Thank God she's doing well now. But I took her through the Pathways program, and she's been battling in and out of these rooms for several years. And you know, you kind of want to just grab them and pull them and tell them, you know, to stop, and you can't. You have to learn how to let go and let them get their own way. Well, she had a party when we were on vacation back in August. You know, mom and dad, just like mom and dad used to deal with when I was using. And we came home and someone threw up in our bed, you know, on the floor. And, you know, beer cans and cigarette butts everywhere around the yard. And I was not a happy camper. And my wife said, I'm going to leave. Either she goes or I go. And my daughter, at the same time, just a couple of weeks later in October, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And she's been staying clean for the most part. She just still has some knucklehead friends, you know. And she got diagnosed with the diabetes. And, you know, I felt like I needed to be there for her. And she broke up with her boyfriends now, and she's going to college, and she's working a lot, and she's taking care of herself. And I guess my intention is to get her off to college this fall so my wife and I can get back together. Because I'm tired of being alone too. So it's been a difficult, when Scott asked me to do this, it's been very difficult because you know, I have two relationships, one on each side, one telling me to leave that person, the other one telling me to get rid of that person, you know. And I'm the pickle in the middle, and I'm trying to be nice to both of them. And what I've learned through healthy relationship is first thing you do is you don't talk bad about the other one. That's the first thing you do. If you don't talk bad about them, you're not feeding into it. So I learned how to keep my mouth shut. And this is an old story I do at work. And it's called, I tell everybody I'm clear-headed. They say, clear-headed? What do you mean? Well, if you say something, it goes in this ear and comes out the other ear. Right? So you can say anything you want in front of me, and it's not going to penetrate. So there's a couple of coworkers I have that have been working 20-some years with me, too. And they said, and they'll be gossiping or talking about somebody, and Valerie would say, oh, don't worry about him. He's clear-headed anyway. he won't say nothing. And I find out through having, and I, because of that, I have healthy relationships with my coworkers at work. See what I'm saying? You don't get involved in gossip. You don't get involved in you know, things that hurt other people. You know, I've always been told the only time you look down on somebody is when you're going to pick them back up. Okay? And right now I'm dealing with the same issue at my own home. You know, having to deal with the relationship issue and how to continue to have something healthy going on. You know, and it's very important I talk about these things because, see, left between the ears, you know, it's a bad place, man. I'm in bad company. I got a 12-step committee working all full time over here, you know, and I need a sponsor to work it through it, you know. One more time again. Hell, 6 minutes. All right. So I want to say that Scotty P. and I have been working together for years. Scotty came through Reality House a year after me. He's the one that asked me to come down here and do this meeting today. And him and I have been involved in H&I committee from Central Maryland, and now I'm involved in H&I with Bay Area, you know. And through Central Maryland, H&I, I actually started taking meetings into facilities such as Tall Oaks High School or Croom High School, vocational high schools, where places I used to sell drugs, because I'm a graduate of Fairmont Heights High School over on the Southeast DC line. And my mother even got cool about it. She used to say to us when we were kids, she says, "I know why you got the number one track team in the state of Maryland. You get a lot of practice running from the police." Right? And what happened was, all I did was sell drugs in that school. I was almost arrested a couple of times. In fact, my ex-girlfriend from high school works for the FBI now, and she was actually trying to get me heisted, you know, when I was in there. But what I did, and this is a healthy relationship, was I started developing a relationship with these kids that went to school in these schools. And I took Narcotics Anonymous meetings to them. I've actually met a couple of them here at these conventions that I came out of high school, and they would hug me, and I don't even remember who they were, and they'd say, "Thank you, you know. Thank you for doing that." And Scotty and I did that meetings there, and I also was at H&I Chair over in Central Maryland before I came down to the Bay Area. And now I'm involved with other things. Christy and I, we're involved in taking meetings into the jails, you know, certainly places like people like us that end up going, you know. And I actually came down to the convention this weekend, and I was supposed to do a meeting at the Hope House on Sunday morning, but I had to get my sponsee to cover for me because I'm here, you know, that I'm not going to be there doing that meeting. And, you know, I have good relationships with the people in my life today, you know, and I want to continue to have them. And how I continue to have them, by continuing to have a good relationship with myself, my higher power, who I call God, you know, and continue to work the steps, you know, and reach out to people to the best of my ability, you know. And that's how we do this thing in here, you know. When we get isolated and we get in a corner and we think nobody wants to hear our shit, well, tell you what, every time something happened in my life, I would spill my shit out here in the meetings. And I would get the help I needed. When I was a single parent for the years with my daughter, I had no idea how to be a mother. But every time I shared at a meeting, I have a girl come up to me after the meeting and say, "Look, I can help you out." But, you know, I said, "Thanks. You know, just give me some ideas." I didn't necessarily want that help at the time. But I just learned that doing these things, you know, is real important. And not only that, it does help to develop better relationship with other people, you know, and it's important, very important, that we reach out. We reach out to the newcomer, and we reach out for help when our ass is on fire. You know, because if we don't, we're the only ones that are going to suffer because of it. You know, when Scotty asked me to do this, I'm telling you, man, I was on the verge of the F everything and run. I was ready to pack my bag, sell my house. I had done everything all already. Pack my house, pack my bag, sell the house, you know, get all my money together, move to Florida. I was ready to hop on the bandwagon and run. But you know what? Running does not solve the issues. Okay? Staying here and working through it with our friends, family, and loved ones is what helps solve our issues. Okay? So if anyone there still has family in their life, maybe they're not so close, maybe there's something that can be done to help mend some of those relationships that we have broken over the years. Because maybe we're in isolation over those issues or those people. Maybe we don't want to talk to our brother or a mother or a father. Or maybe we're just angry and resentful. Well, you know what? I found out that the best way to work through a resentment is to go talk to that person. And that's how I get rid of my resentment. Not by talking bad about them, by talking to them. Okay? That's the best way to get rid of any resentment you might have. See, I'm the kind of person where I could walk in any meeting at any time and see anybody in there, and it don't matter to me. I don't not go to a certain meeting because there's somebody in there I don't want to see. That's how I keep healthy relationships. I can go anywhere, any meeting, at any time, and say hi, I love you, and I hug you, and keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share. My name's Anthony Myers.